Hello, and welcome to the latest episode of the Bad Times Good Stories Podcast. My name is Joe Flanders, and I hope you are having an awesome Halloween week, and more specifically, Halloween. Yes, this comes out on Halloween, so I hope that you're having a spooky, fun time. Is it sad the only reason I dress up in a costume is so I can get the discounted Chipotle burrito? But I hope if you take the holiday seriously that you are enjoying it. So, I'm excited. Today on the show is Kevin Nahai. He's a really interesting guy. I produce a series of YouTube videos called The Other Side with him. It's called The Other Side. I do it with him. It's not called The Other Side with him. But yeah, Kevin's been through a lot of emotional hardships and physical ailments as well, and he talks openly about his struggles with depression and anxiety and eating disorders and a lot of topics that, you know, are heavy, but he's able to talk about them in a way that provides some levity and hope for anybody else who's also struggling with those things. So that's what his channel's about. On our episode today of Bad Times, Good Stories, we are talking about some dating fiascos that Kevin has experienced, more specifically as far as getting catfished. I had heard of people getting catfished. I'd never heard of anyone getting religiously catfished, which happened to Kevin. So yeah, he talks about that. I also talk about a one-night stand I had while living with my grandmother in North Carolina. It wasn't with my grandmother. I felt the need to clarify that. So, yes, this is beginning a two-part series on dating mishaps and one-night stand mishaps and all things romantic involvement mishaps. I think that's a big part of what people would consider bad times, good stories. So this week I've got Kevin. Next week I've got a really funny comedian. I really hate that phrase, comedian, Caitlin, who will also be talking on these issues. So if you liked today's episode, feel free to give us 5 stars on iTunes. Just click the little button on the Apple Podcast app, Apple Pods. Just scroll past the episodes, tap 5 stars. If you really want to, you could, you know, write something about the show if you like it. That's always nice to hear. If you have a bad time that would make a good story, email me at badtimesgoodstoriespodcast@gmail.com. And check out badtimesgoodstoriespod.com for past episodes, links to merch, Patreon, all that good stuff. So without further ado, here's my conversation with Kevin Nahai.
Oh, Cinnamon Toast Crunch Blasted Shreds.
Yeah.
Sounds delicious.
I question the name. Blasted Shreds. It just doesn't quite sound appealing and appetizing, which may have been why it's on sale.
Anything with Cinnamon Toast Crunch sounds appealing.
They're not bad. And it's like they're basically the sugar cereal version of Frosted Mini Wheats.
Mm, more sugary, more cinnamony.
Yeah. But gotcha. they still got like 6 grams of fiber or something.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So it actually, it's the one thing, I really am upset with cereal serving sizes. It drives me insane.
That 3 pieces is a serving size?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I like, know. That box of Cheerios apparently has 12 servings in it. That's like 4 bowls of cereal.
For yeah, me. Exactly. I know.
And it's one thing if it's Cheerios, but, you know, occasionally we'll like to get, Cinnamon Toast Crunch or Reese's Peanut
Fruity
Butter
Pebbles.
Puffs.
Oh, I love Peanut Butter Puffs.
Peanut Butter Puffs.
I fuck with Peanut Butter Puffs.
And you look at the serving and you go, all right, 11 grams of sugar. That's not terrible. And then you realize
that
you're having
sizes.
5 servings by their measure, which is basically having a Coke and a half for breakfast.
Exactly. This conversation made me want to have cereal.
Yeah, I know. That's kind of the problem is that even as I'm saying how unhealthy it is, I actually want some.
I know.
It's the same thing when I saw that Super Size Me documentary.
You just wanted McDonald's?
Yeah, I just left the theater thinking I want McDonald's. That was the takeaway I had.
Yeah, because when you leave the theater, you're not thinking I'm going to eat McDonald's four meals a day for the next 30 days.
Absolutely
not. I'm going to have McDonald's once a year.
Yeah.
And I, or once every couple months or whatever. And that's, it's going
to, I'll tell myself that. It'll probably be once a month. But even so, even so, once a month is not four times a day.
Exactly.
You know, I think it missed its point for me at least. Also, and this has come up several times lately, not directly, but I went to the reason I've been sick is that I've been too busy to just like have a night in.
Mm.
So I went to a friend's birthday party over the weekend, and it was at a club downtown. I got there early.
And last weekend you went to a friend's birthday party.
Yes.
It sounds like you've got a lot of friends and a lot of birthday parties.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, that's my humble brag. I have a lot of friends. I go to a lot of parties that I'm not really excited about going to, which is no reflection of how I feel about the person, but
exactly,
you know, yeah, I got there early and I thought, oh, this is, it's a place downtown. And, you know, I was like, all right, this is fine. It was mellow enough. I could kind of hear what was being said. And then after an hour, it just turned into, it was just pitch black. Well, not pitch black.
Right.
It was very, very, very dark.
Okay.
And very loud. And I don't do well in those environments. And I don't understand people that do. Do you?
Absolutely not. And okay. I don't really think people, quote unquote, do well in those environments. I think they're just so drunk that they don't know the difference, or it's like, it's kind of par for the course.
Yeah, maybe.
What do you do? It's so packed that you can't move around. It's so loud that you can't talk to anybody.
Well, this is what I was getting to, because I know we're talking about dating. Okay. I don't understand. The only time I've ever been in that situation is for a birthday party of sorts, where that is why I am going.
Uh-huh.
The idea of going there to pursue a romantic involvement with somebody, I don't know how. The one time that I actually, you know, because in the movies, it's all nonverbal. They just somehow see each other.
Right.
And then they just start dancing and then they leave together.
Right, right.
There's two times.
Or they see each other, the guy walks up, and now all of a sudden the volume has completely come down.
Yeah.
And in the midst of that environment, he's able to very nonchalantly say, hey, you know, I just thought you're so beautiful and mm-hmm. I had to come say hello.
Yeah.
And then they make out and then they leave together like a Cinderella story. I don't think it ever goes down like that.
No, I don't think, certainly not for me, because there was one time where I tried that. She was just terrified because I was staring at her.
Oh, okay. Well, staring.
Well, I was trying to do like the same look that I had seen in the movie. I don't think that I looked like a serial killer, but perhaps.
who knows?
I think I just held the stare for too long.
Okay. Well, that's the thing. These dating coaches, like there are these people on YouTube, you know, like the alpha male kind of pickup artist kind of coaches that tell you like, there's nothing that a woman is more attracted to than eye contact.
Right.
Like the first rule is like, make eye contact.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're not naturally like the most suave Casanova guy who's like, you know, been banging chicks since he was 15 or whatever, like if you just don't have that much game.
Yes.
How do you know how much eye contact is too much eye
exactly.
contact?
Exactly. Exactly.
You know?
I don't know, clearly.
I don't know either.
This is when I was like 21, and admittedly, I had bought
a fleshlight?
No, I've always been satisfied with my own hand.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you know.
Didn't feel the investment
didn't
was
feel
necessary.
Didn't feel like it was worth it. No, I bought I think it was the Mystery Method. Mystery had a show on VH1. He was one of these pickup artists, and I bought his book.
Really?
And he talked about, I think I was also peacocking that night, which is to wear flamboyant clothes to stand out.
To show the ladies that
I'm an idiot. Yeah, somehow. And there was something about eye contact and how, you know, they should be the one to look away. So, yeah, I just decided, I was like, well, I guess I'll just stare at her.
And hopefully it'll make it happen.
And I'm sure it was only, staring is one of those things where you only do it for 5 seconds, but it feels like 5 minutes, particularly, I would imagine, if you're being stared at.
Exactly.
You know? And then, yeah, she just made it very clear that she was not interested and then walked swiftly away.
How did she do that?
She just shook her head violently. While maintaining eye contact with me. And then I think I did like a yes, you know, like,
are
at this
you sure?
point the charade was over, you know.
Oh, God.
But so I just looked like sad, like maybe? And she just kept going no. And
poor Joe.
Well, I think I had it coming, because I'm sure I looked like a fucking creep. And then the only other time I was dancing with somebody, but I couldn't understand anything that they were saying. So I just kept going, what? What?
What?
What? And then she asked if
going,
I
yeah.
And she asked if I could say anything other than what. And then I said what, because I didn't know what she said fully. And then she walked away. So.
Wow.
So, you know, I was never one to pick anybody up in a circumstance of which we were describing. So I know you're talking about dating stories. How do you do it? I'm not saying, do you, have you had success in that realm? Has it all been on? What are your stories today? Are they all online dating? Do you have any in-person failures?
Well, yes, I have. I have online dating stories that turned into in-person fiascos.
Okay.
Okay. So, but to answer your first question, I have tried a few times to meet women at a bar in that like loud environment, and I run into a few problems. The first problem is the obvious one that you're discussing, which is that it's so loud, like. You don't know if you're making eye contact with someone, if they just think you're a creep.
Yes.
That's like, you know, going to invite them into their van later in the night.
I probably looked like a guy who had a van.
Okay.
Yeah.
A white van that's parked in the loading zone downstairs.
Didn't even put my hazards on.
Exactly.
I'm staying here.
So like there are all of, you know, there's obviously that problem. So yeah, dude, picking up women in bars. If I don't know, man. If a girl is single and she's looking for a relationship, then sure, I can give her the benefit of the doubt that she thinks, you know, a social place is a good place to meet men.
Yeah.
But my general rule is that, you know, I don't drink and I'm not into like partying and clubbing and stuff. So for me, I'm not looking for women in bars.
Right.
You know, I'm looking for women in places where we have a shared interest.
Sure.
Sorry.
Oh, that's fine.
You know, where like there's a reason that like we're both there, you know,
like a burger establishment.
Oh,
or the library.
Oh my God. If I could find a woman, if any of the women who are listening to this podcast, if you love burgers and libraries, it's a match made in heaven. But online.
Yeah.
Dating. I have some stories.
Okay. All right. And so you are currently single, right?
I am currently
single. So the online dating has not worked in your favor as of yet.
It has not worked in my favor. And something that really pisses me off.
Yes.
Is that not to just be a rant fest here.
Right.
But I think this is important for other people to hear because other people have expressed the same sentiment. Is that there are a lot of people who say like online dating just doesn't work for me. Like I don't get a vibe for the person. I don't exactly know what to say over text. You know, like for me, I'm a lot more natural and charismatic in person than I am on some app talking to someone that I don't know anything about them. I can't get a vibe.
Yeah. Other than the pictures that they...
Exactly.
The story they're trying to create.
Exactly. And even then it's like, who knows if that's disingenuous.
Exactly.
Or, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So... I've told a lot of people, including my dating coach friend, I'm just not into online dating. And like, if that means I have to wait a little longer to meet someone in person by happenstance or serendipity, then like, I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
And the response I always get is, oh, but you know, my best friend's cousin's uncle met his wife on Tinder.
Right.
And I'm like, okay, there are 300 million people on Tinder, and you have maybe 5 stories of people who had successful relationships on Tinder.
So you're saying there's a chance.
Yeah, exactly. Like, yes, I'm sure it could happen.
Right.
But so far, you know, that has not been my luck. And maybe I'm jaded, but I've had nothing but pretty much bad experience after bad experience.
Well, let's get to it.
Okay. All right. So... I will start with this girl. Let's just call her Victoria.
Sure.
Because her name's Victoria.
Oh, well, then that's appropriate.
And she doesn't... I haven't talked to her. This was like 3 years ago. So
yeah.
If she just happens to come across this podcast, I'm sorry, but I think it's highly unlikely.
Yeah, probably.
So I met Victoria on Bumble.
Okay. Now, which ones is that? Is that the one where you match up with like mutual Facebook friends? Or
no.
Something? No. Okay.
What's I don't remember which one that is. That might be Hinge. I'm not sure. So Bumble is the one where you match with women and then the onus is on them.
That's right.
To message you first. Okay. So you're not you're actually not allowed to message them. Mm-hmm. Okay. And this is a good idea in concept. Mm. In practice, in my experience, it's a terrible idea because the practice has been for however many hundreds of years that girls like to be messaged. They like for the guys to be the first one to reach out.
Right.
And especially if you're a girl who's a little bit more shy or, you know, hesitant, or you're unsure about the dating app thing, like, you might take comfort in the fact that you're not going to have guys sending you dick pics,
right?
Which is nice, obviously.
Yes.
But you might also not be the one to take the initiative to send the first few messages. Mm-hmm. So then you match with someone, and then I might really be into someone, but, you know, I never hear from them. And I don't have any way of reaching out to them, which is extremely frustrating.
Yes.
But anyway, so Victoria. Victoria was a beautiful blonde girl that I met on Bumble. And I'm not usually always into blondes, blonde hair, blue eyes. But she was really beautiful. And she hit me up on Bumble almost immediately after we matched. This was like probably 2 years ago. And we were talking for maybe like 2 or 3 weeks. So she was out of town. And then she came back. We had plans to meet up. Something happened. We didn't end up meeting up. So we ended up making plans to kind of meet halfway between where she was and where I was, which was still in the valley. So I still had to go over the hill to get there, but I was looking forward to it.
Yeah.
So I get to the restaurant, a nice Italian restaurant in the valley, and I text her. I say that I'm here. About 10 minutes go by. She doesn't answer. And at this point, by the way, we had already talked over the phone like maybe 2 or 3 times.
That was going to be my next question. Was, you know, you said you've been talking for 2 weeks. Had it been through the app, or did you, you know, make it to
It was through the app.
Texting?
Then it was texting, and then it was over the phone.
Okay. Okay.
And then it was like, you seem so wonderful. I'm really excited to meet you. And, you know, just chatting about work and life and normal things. And, you know, so, at first I thought that because she wasn't confirming that she was there and I hadn't heard from her for like 10 or 15 minutes that she just ditched me.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, well, that's not cool, but online dating, you never know what you're going to get.
Yeah.
And instead I got something very different.
Okay.
Which was this, very tall, rotund, large woman walked into the restaurant, very dark skin. I'm not sure what her ethnicity is.
Yeah.
She looked like some kind of Latin American.
Uh-huh.
Or she might have been from like Dominican Republic or, you know, something like that. I can't exactly remember. She had curly hair that was black, and she had deep dark brown eyes. Her eyes were actually very pretty. And she comes up to the table, and I've never seen this person in my life.
Right.
This is not a petite, blonde-haired, blue-eyed girl. Right.
Which is who you thought you'd been talking
exactly,
to.
Exactly. With a high voice.
Right.
This
with a high voice.
Yeah.
So the voice is different. Okay.
The voice is different.
Okay. So she comes up to you.
So she comes up to me, and she says, Kevin? And I'm like, hi, yes. And like, I'm thinking like, maybe this is the manager of the restaurant.
Right. Yeah.
Or, you know, I'm thinking that maybe this is just a stranger who's like coming in to like sell me flowers or something, as people often do in, you know, range, like strangers who just come up to the dinner table.
And she happened to have guessed your name properly.
Exactly. Yeah. Oh, I forgot about that. Yeah, I'm thinking, who the fuck is this person, basically? And she comes up to the table. She says, hi, I'm Victoria. And then she says, she just jumps right into it. She's like, I'm sorry I'm late. I got your texts. I was just on the phone with my mom or something. So I'm like, I was this close to saying, Victoria from Bumble.
Yeah.
You don't look the same. You don't sound the same. Are you sure you have the right person? But she definitely had the right person.
Yeah.
So I have, like, you know the MTV show Catfish?
Yeah.
I have fully been catfished. Like, catfishing is when somebody completely different appearance, different voice, who you've been pursuing, who you've had an online relationship with. I don't have a relationship with her. I was talking to her for like 2 weeks.
Sure.
Shows up and is just not who she says she is.
Yeah.
So at this point I'm like, all right, what the fuck do I do?
Yeah.
So she sits down at the table, just helps herself to the seat.
I don't want to halt your momentum.
Go ahead.
But it's an interesting theory to just talk over the obvious. Oh, like, oh, exactly. I'm sorry. I was talking to my mom, and oh, you know, and then just sit down and just like, what's she thinking? She's just going to pretend like this isn't happening?
Okay, well, actually, the way that the night ended up going is that she completely pretended like it didn't happen.
Wow.
So the entire time, there was no acknowledgement of the fact that she is not who she says she is.
Yeah.
And so at the end of the dinner, I just sit there. I kind of make conversation with her.
Like, what are you thinking? What do you?
I didn't know what to do. Right? I mean, the whole time I was so shocked that I didn't want to be an asshole and be like, all right, I'm leaving.
Yeah, you know? I guess. Yeah, you're a good guy. I guess that's true. But she, you, okay,
I very well could have.
Yeah, I think you'd have problem, you know, good reason
yeah,
to.
Yeah, I had a right to, but I don't know. I was just so shocked.
Well, sure, yeah.
This was also for me early in the days of online dating.
Sure.
Like 2 years ago for me, 2-3 years ago, I had never done this before.
Right, it's new. You're like, okay, well, she seems to be kind of psychotic and she's a different person.
Exactly.
But maybe it'll still work out. No. Maybe this person's okay too.
Exactly. I'm not really into forming relationships with pathological liars.
No, when your entire foundation is a lie.
Exactly.
And it's a rocky foundation to begin with.
And a Bumble foundation.
Yeah, okay.
So anyway, we have dinner. We just make normal conversation. I pay for the meal. And then at the end of it, she asks me if I would like to walk her to her car. And at this point, I'm like, fuck. Like, you know, I've already been nice enough to this girl.
Yeah.
I'm not, you know, this is too much. Yeah. So I just say to her, you know, Victoria, I don't mean this in a rude way, and it was very nice to get to know you, but you are just obviously, you are not who you said you were.
Yeah.
And the person that's here at the table is very different from the person that I thought that I was meeting.
Yeah.
And I was going to ask her how she changed her voice, because it wasn't like a vocoder voice, like a machine.
Sure. Yeah.
It was like a sister or a friend or something, which is also so bizarre that someone else was in on this whole process, you know? And also, people who catfish, if any catfishers listen to this, what do you think is going to happen? The person's just magically going to decide that it doesn't matter and like it's fine.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. Okay. So that's what you said.
So I said, yeah, I'm sorry. And she goes, oh yeah, you know, it's just, it's hard with online dating because, you know, people are judgmental and you know, sometimes they don't always keep an open mind. And I'm like, oh, okay. So now it's everyone else's fault for being judgmental. You know, maybe they just actually want to go out with the person in their pictures.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So
that's did you ask about the voice?
No.
Okay. Yeah. See, that's fascinating because
I've been catfished, and it's very appropriate because your coaster is a cat.
Is a cat. It most certainly is.
Do you have any fish in this apartment?
Mine's a banana. So I'll be curious to see how we can work that into conversation.
banana.
We'll see. And the thing is, it's like, as you were describing who she actually was, I could see listeners being like, well, what's wrong with that? Does everyone have to be blonde and beautiful and perfect? No,
oh God.
But you need to be who you say you are.
Exactly. Exactly.
Like, you know, that's all it is. You can't pretend to be.
Wow. Look, man, there's someone out there for everyone.
Right.
Your dorky ass got a beautiful girlfriend.
Yes, I do. And thankfully, and it's because, you know, I think, like, for me, as I said, I had a hard time with bars or any sort of the obvious places. We ended up working together at a camp.
Mm.
And so
a
I think
filmmaking camp.
Yeah,
right?
At a camp. Yeah, a filmmaking camp. And, you know, I think the stakes are just very high when you're out at a bar. And so instead of steak, I would say that our situation was like a ham sandwich. Or in the sense that, like, oh, we're just working together. Oh, she seems kind of nice.
Right.
I'm going to continue to get to know her.
Right.
Yeah, I get to see her every day, so there's no, like, pressure.
Right.
Now, I ended up putting an extensive amount of pressure on myself because I was convinced that, like, every other relationship that I'd, budding relationship I'd had, I'd somehow ruin it.
Mm.
And I was stressing out in a way that she had no idea of it.
Of course.
It was a complete disaster from my standpoint.
For your anxiety.
Oh, it was awful.
But, yeah, I was saying, like, you know, The idea, like, yeah, of course, I'm sensitive to the plight of people who have a really hard time dating. And, like, I actually really feel bad for that girl who catfished me because, you know, there's a part of her that thinks that she's not attractive enough or smart enough or good enough in whatever way,
yeah,
you know, and that she has to put on this fake persona, which like speaks to some deep rooted, you know, issues that yes. of course I have compassion for. But my philosophy is first of all that there's someone for everyone. You're just probably not looking in the right places.
Yeah.
And secondly, the more yourself you can be, like as soon as you start to put on a persona yeah. of who you're not, and obviously catfishing is the extreme example of
right.
that. You know, but people can sniff bullshit from a mile away.
Yeah.
You know, like if you're a really soft, sweet, tender, nerdy guy and you try to put on this persona of being like macho and alpha and like super driven and, you know, you try to act like a douche, people are like, dude, come on, who the fuck are you fooling?
Yep.
You know?
Guilty as charged on that one.
No.
Via text. Oh, yeah. When I look at some of my like texts from random, you know, where I'm just like, hey, like I maybe it's because I know the cadence that I was thinking when I texted
right,
it, you know,
right. Yeah,
you know, you want to come over, whatever, you know? And then they would always just go with whatever.
Netflix nope. and chill.
Yeah.
And they write back. Yeah. Netflix ... by myself.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. No, that's true. I think you just need to be yourself and that's not always easy. But
well, being yourself is not easy because 99% of people don't know 99% of themselves.
Right.
Right. Yeah. So in the same breath that I say, be yourself and that's your best chance of somebody appreciating and loving you for your authenticity and for who you are. I also say that it takes a lot of time and a lot of work to discover what being yourself means.
Exactly. Yeah.
And then once you've discovered what being yourself means, it takes a huge amount of confidence to live that,
mm-hmm.
you know, without floundering and without diverting, without reverting back to
right.
some other way that you were. Like, you got to know. It takes a long time to discover who you are and what you're about. And then to be confident and strong enough to be like, that's who I am and I'm not going to act any other way for anybody. That's tough.
It certainly is. So on your next experience that you'll share.
Okay.
How are you with being yourself?
Okay. Well, being myself is a different topic.
Sure.
But on my next experience, and God, I don't know why after the first like, three failed online dates, I didn't just stop online dating.
Right.
I go through these phases where like I delete all the apps.
Yeah.
And I'm like, fuck this.
Yeah.
And I just meet people in person or whatever. And then I'm like, okay, well, my dating coach friend or my sister or my other friend or whatever, they tell me like, oh, you should really try it. So then I try them again. Then I fucking hate them. Then I delete them again.
Yeah.
So anyway, this experience was actually rather recent.
Okay.
And for that reason, I won't say any names or any details.
Okay. We'll get what's a good fake name for? Roberta?
Roberta. No, because Roberta is just going to put the wrong idea in people's heads. She's an Orthodox Jew and there are no Orthodox Jews named Roberta. So why don't we just call her like Shalit?
Sure.
Or Orly.
All right.
Or any of those other, you know, or even Malka.
Malka.
Let's Leah, Malka. Rachel, Rebecca.
Rachel.
Let's call her Malka.
I like that.
All right.
Don't mind me. I'm just going to get some more coffee.
Okay. So I met Malka on an app called JSwipe. And for those of you who don't know, that stands for Jew Swipe or Jewish Swipe. And it is basically like JDate, except that it's supposed to be for younger people.
Mm-hmm.
So JDate is for like middle-aged Jays who are seeking relationships and, you know, presumably are divorcees or haven't had any luck or whatever. And JSwipe is for younger Jays who are seeking the same things, but, you know, haven't already been married or don't have children, you know, et cetera.
Right. Okay.
So I met this girl, and here's the thing. On JSwipe, you can choose your preferences. So you can choose if you want an Orthodox Jew, a conservative Jew, a traditional Jew, a reform Jew. There is an option that's called just Jewish. I don't even know what that means.
All of the above?
Yeah, I guess. So I
to be clear, are you Jewish?
I'm Jewish.
Okay, all right. Yes.
I'm not just creeping on Jewish women.
I don't know if you just happen to really like Jewish women, and, you know.
Cool. No, but hold that thought,
okay.
Because I have something to say about that.
Okay.
After I tell this story.
Yeah.
So I unclicked Orthodox and conservative because I'm not religious. So on my setting, I'm Reform Jew.
Yeah.
And so I like opened up my preferences to just Jewish, Reform Jew, and like traditional. I don't even know what these designations mean.
I was going to ask when we're done with the story.
Yeah. I have no idea.
Okay.
I'm 99% sure that the developers of this app are probably not Jewish either. And they just like looked up some Jewy things in like Urban Dictionary, sure, or something. So anyway, I meet this girl and her thing comes up as Reform. I unclicked Orthodox just because I'm not religious. So how am I going to be in a relationship with someone who's Orthodox?
And Orthodox would be very religious, I guess.
Yeah. So Orthodox or ultra Orthodox are the, let's call them the far right,
okay,
of religion,
okay,
in Judaism. So they are as religious as you can get, basically.
Yeah.
Except for like a few small sects in Israel who are like even more religious than the ultra Orthodox.
Yeah.
I don't even know how that's possible, but you know, like the ultra Orthodox, you know, they don't drive on Shabbat. They don't work on Shabbat. They don't use any electronics on Shabbat. They keep kosher at all times. They get married very young. The women wear wigs. You know, they're not allowed to show their shoulders or their knees. Mm. So they're kind of cloaked like head to toe. They can show their face. And the other thing about Orthodox Jews is they like to have as many children as humanly possible. Mm. So they generally like don't have sex other than for the purpose of procreating.
Yeah.
So I'm not trying to have like 8 kids, dude.
No.
So no. Yeah. Anyway, nothing against Orthodox people. I just, you know,
wasn't for you.
Yeah.
Can't, it's not for you.
Can't be in a relationship with,
okay, you know.
And also I don't like read Hebrew. I don't read the Torah. I don't, yeah, go to synagogue. Like, you know, so it just wouldn't work for obvious reasons. So anyway, I meet this girl named Malka and she puts her profile as Reform. She turned out actually to be the person she said she was, which was nice.
All right.
The catfish thing has only happened to me once in my life, but it was enough to scare me away.
Oh, I'm sure in the back of your mind on any first date online wise, you're like, well, who am I going to see?
Exactly.
Today?
Exactly. Yeah. So I meet up with her. We have a nice dinner. And, at the dinner, she tells me that she keeps kosher and I'm like, oh, that, you know, cool. Like, I don't know many Reform Jews who keep kosher, but you know, whatever. I didn't push her on it. And then I say, she asks me if I do, and I say no. And immediately she snaps at me and she says, well, just so you know, I want a kosher household.
Oh.
I'm like, oh, okay. Like, you know, I wasn't aware that we were talking about marriage in the household. But at least now I know that if I decide to propose by the end of the night, that's a ground rule.
You're like, yeah, I didn't just ask you to marry me. I asked you to pass the bread. So we're not quite there yet.
Exactly.
But good to know.
So anyway, she reveals by the end of the dinner that she is Orthodox.
God.
And that she comes from an ultra Orthodox family and that they live in New York and that she's here in LA doing her own thing and, you know, whatever. So I asked her, so just out of curiosity, why does your J-swipe profile say that you're Reform?
Yeah.
And she gave me the answer that I was expecting, which is that people would be judgmental and that she would have fewer options of men to meet. But and I didn't press her on this, but what she doesn't understand is that if she's Orthodox and that's that important to her,
right,
then she needs to be with someone who's also Orthodox.
Yes.
Like there's a reason there are fewer options.
Yes.
And there's a reason those filters exist.
Yes. God.
So I found myself in another semi-catfish situation, but anyway.
A religious catfish.
A religious catfish, exactly. They refer to them as Mordechai fish. or Cat Abraham.
Yeah, yeah.
I got Cat Abrahamed, Cat Rabbied.
What's Cat in Yiddish?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Or in Hebrew.
Or in Hebrew. Yeah.
I'm not sure.
All right. We'll get back to it.
In Hebrew, I can say ken, which is yes, lo, which is no, and shalom, which is hello.
Nice. That's about where I'm at with French.
And sheket bavakasha, which means shut the fuck up.
Oh, so the essentials.
Exactly.
Nice. Yes, no, shut the fuck up.
Perfect.
What more do you need?
Yeah, exactly. So anyway, at the end of the night, I drive her home.
Yeah.
And in the back of my head, I know that this was a very nice night, but that I am not going to be a match with this girl.
Did you hit it off otherwise?
Yeah.
That must have been disappointing then.
It was. It was really disappointing because I was attracted to her.
Yeah.
And she was attracted to me, and she's super smart. She's involved in a lot of really cool things. But, you know, I just like... realistically speaking, I can't be with someone who's super religious because I'm not at all.
Right.
So anyway, at the end of the night, she asks me if I want to come up like into her apartment.
Fascinating.
And I'm like, wow, this night just gets more and more interesting. And I'm thinking to myself, okay, there's no way that this ultra religious person wants me to go sleep with her on the first date.
No, probably not.
Unless her religion is a farce,
yes.
In which case she would have just been lying to me for the last like 3 hours. So I don't know what that would be about. So I'm thinking maybe she wants to invite me up for tea.
Yeah.
Or maybe, I don't know. Maybe she has a really cute puppy or something that she wants to show me. And to be honest with you, Joe, I don't know why I agreed.
Like, was it because there was the possibility that maybe... there was sex?
Maybe it was a possibility that there was sex.
Because I'm fascinated about what what men will do if there's even a chance possibility. To have sex. Where you're like, every side is saying there's no sex here, but she did ask me to come up.
Yeah, exactly.
Maybe.
I mean, all the
which
signs.
Would be reasonable.
She was all of the signs up to that point were saying that she wouldn't sleep with me or anyone until she was married
sure.
to him.
Yes.
But maybe, but hey, you never know. Thinking with your dick 101.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Okay.
So I think what it was is that I was just so fascinated by like why.
Sure.
That I just decided I'd go up for a few minutes.
Yeah.
So I go up for a few minutes and she opens the door. And who is on her couch? 4 Orthodox Jewish women.
Oh, boy.
Who I assume were her sisters. They may have been her cousins or a combination of both.
Yeah.
Her mother and her grandmother.
Wow. Wow.
I was under the impression that all these people are in New York City.
Right. Because that's what she said.
Or not New York City, but
New York State.
Yeah. Somewhere in New York.
Yeah.
And they're not. They're there in her living room.
God.
And why are they there in her living room? It's not for a Shabbat because this is not a Friday night.
Yeah.
And they don't live there.
No.
She introduces me to all of them and I sit down with all of them. And then they all start telling me one by one about how amazing our Malka is. And basically all start trying to convince me to be her suitor. Now, they're not directly saying you should marry this girl or anything.
They're just pointing out all of her positive attributes.
And they're asking me a million questions about myself. And when I say things, they're all like, oh, that's so impressive. And they're like really trying to like build up my confidence and my self-esteem here.
Uh-huh.
And the weird thing about this is that this is a first date from a dating app.
Right.
These people are not... these are very old school people. They're not like from the new age dating app world.
Sure.
Which means that before the first date, before I had even ever interacted with this girl, she must have gone to her aunts and mother or maybe they went to her or whatever and showed them my profile.
Yes.
And they had planned to be there that night to meet me.
Wow.
Because how else would that just happen?
Unless she lied and didn't mention where she met you, or she said that she met you at temple or something.
Sure.
Who knows?
But the reason that I think this was planned somehow is that when she invited me up, she didn't say, oh, and by the way, like my family's over.
She didn't mention that at all.
Not at all. Ugh. So I thought that it was just going to be us two.
Right.
which is maybe
a reasonable expectation.
Maybe I was thinking with my dick.
Sure, probably.
But yeah,
well, your answers had to show that you were not conservative.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
And they were like, oh, how interesting. They just acted like that was fine.
Yeah.
This is endlessly fascinating. I don't
know. Well, because I don't know. I think there's a hope that you can convert people.
Oh, it's the old. Yeah. It's like, oh, this is how he is now, but I can change him.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
Okay. That makes sense. So how'd you leave?
Oh, my God.
That night. What'd you do?
I ended up saying, it was so nice to meet you all. I have to be up early for work tomorrow.
Yeah.
I left. And then this would have been grounds for ghosting.
Yeah.
I'm not a ghoster.
Oh, but in this case, did you?
No, I didn't. I ended up texting her the very next morning. And I said, I had a really nice time with you. But as you know, I'm not religious. And I think that you need to be with somebody who's kind of more on your wavelength.
Great.
But...
What did she say?
She said, I understand.
Oh, yeah. All right.
And what else was she going to say? She brought her entire family to fucking try to convert me to orthodoxy and to marry this girl that I've been on one date with.
Yeah.
What else is she going to say?
Yeah. Okay.
God. So, yeah, man. Online dating, that's a thing, man. You never know what you're going to get. And for all these fools who are like, oh, I met my wife on this dating app or whatever. It's like, okay, you are the exception, not the rule.
Right.
You have no idea how lucky you got.
Yeah.
You know?
Wow.
And the thing that I was going to say about J-Swipe that I paused you on was, you asked me, and are you Jewish?
Yes.
And I said, yes, I am. The number of non-Jewish women on that app boggles my mind.
Really?
There are, I would say that for every 10 women I swipe through who are Jewish, there are probably two or three who are not.
Huh.
There are Asian girls, there are black girls, there are Mexican girls, you know, there are girls from, there are just white Christian girls, you know?
Yeah.
And some of them on their profile write that they're Jewish. It's like, I know you're not Jewish.
Now that's shitty. Do some of them say non-Jew here?
Some of them say willing to convert.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Which is all good, right, that they're being honest.
Right. Yeah.
But it makes me, I ask myself, why are all of these non-Jews looking for a Jewish man?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we have big noses, we have small penises, and we're extremely anxious. What is appealing about that? We make good husbands?
Now, the reverse of that would be, even as reformed and non-religious, why are you looking for a Jewish girl?
Well, I'm not in particular.
Yeah.
I'm not specifically seeking a Jewish girl. I went on J-Swipe because that app is a lot smaller, so you get more matches.
Okay.
It's not as big and random as like Bumble or Tinder or like Hinge.
Sure.
You know, the algorithms are a little bit more like specific, I guess.
Right.
But I like the idea of being with a Jewish girl just because they would get my family. Like, they would understand my loud, overbearing, controlling Jewish mother.
Right.
They would understand that, like, my grandma, like, has no boundaries and calls me a million times a day. And, you know, like, I grew up going to Hebrew school. Like, that's a commonality that we have.
Yeah, you have a bar mitzvah, a similar.
Yeah,
you could relate.
Exactly.
Okay. Yeah, that makes total sense.
And
yeah,
like, there's a reason like we refer to Jews as like the tribe.
Yeah.
Because they kind of like roll in a tribe. Like, they get each other. Like, Jews are such idiosyncratic, weird people.
Sure.
You know.
Yeah.
Like, that have so many like quirks that are just attributable to being Jewish. That it would be easier to be with a woman who like gets that. But I date non-Jews all the time, and I don't have to marry a Jew. Like, you know,
I was just curious.
Yeah. Do you have any online dating fiascos?
I mean, you know, I went on my first online date was, it definitely wasn't an app. It was my first summer home from college.
Did apps even exist back then?
No, I had a Razor. I think I had a Razor phone until like my senior year of college when I got an iPhone.
When did you graduate college?
2010.
No, you had an iPhone before then.
No, I held off.
Really?
Yeah. I didn't see the point.
I had a Razor in 2005 and 2006, but I was in seventh grade.
Yeah.
I'm a little younger than you.
Yep.
You're 30?
31. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, I was late to that party. I was just like, yeah, what's the point?
One time I was having sex in the bathroom of Pete's Coffee.
Oh.
And we got caught.
Oh.
That's the beginning and end of that story. Ah.
But was it on a first date?
No.
Oh, okay.
It was not.
No, that's good.
And then, but...
Were you in the ladies' room or the men's room?
It was a single-use bathroom.
Was this before it was
These were before gender-neutral bathrooms, yes.
Okay, all right.
This is a few years ago. But one time I had a one-night stand, and I started having an uncontrollable nosebleed.
Oh.
And I didn't notice this because it was in the dark.
Yeah.
Until this wet liquid started flowing everywhere.
Yeah.
And I was on top of the girl, and started bleeding out of my nose all over her, poor girl.
Just onto her chest?
Exactly. Literally. And I have a feeling that that's why that was a one-night stand.
Probably. Yeah. Yeah, it doesn't take too much. Granted, I'll give her the benefit of the doubt. You know, if it doesn't go well that first time, there probably won't be a second time.
Yeah.
You know, that did happen to me. I was living in North Carolina, and I did very well on the... Actually, no, this was an in-person thing. This was at a coffee shop. This is when I was still smoking cigarettes. So I was outside, and then this like cute girl came out and asked for a lighter. Like, it was kind of a movie thing.
Yeah.
And she even wrote her name down on a piece of paper. Who does that?
Really?
Yeah. And, Kelly, that was her name.
You remember this? Yeah. That's so funny.
Well, I remember it because, so we went out the next night and, had a good time, you know, drank enough to kind of be loose, but not too much. And I was staying at my grandmother's house. And she's always been pretty cool. And I was staying there because I was getting over a bad breakup, heartbreak situation. I kind of drove cross country and was gone for like 6 months.
Mm.
And so when I first got there, my grandmother was just like, well, you can sleep. You know, you have the whole upstairs. I have a sound machine on when I sleep, so feel free to do whatever you want.
Really?
Yeah.
Granny? What's her name?
Grandma. She's a cool lady. So, you know, but it's still... It's a little weird, you know,
to be
for
fucking
me.
In your grandma's
yes.
house. Yes.
Yeah.
I think most people would think that's weird.
Yeah. So
here comes a part of the story where you say you and Kelly actually did it in your grandma's bed.
No. Thankfully she was in that bed asleep. But yeah, we went back up and, you know, it's, in the dating realm, it was always, even if it was going well, I would always I'd bumble my way to actually pulling the trigger to saying, would you like to come back to my place? You know, mm-hmm. So I did that time as well. So it was like,
would you like to come back to my place?
Yeah. No, it was just by the time we were like upstairs, in the guest room, it was like 3:30, you know, in the morning. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
And, you know, my dick was, you know, I think it's
sleepy time.
I had the sleepy dick, you know, he was ready to go to bed. And, so, you know, dick. I had to like wake him up and he's slow to wake up. And, you know, he did not wake up fully. but it was so late that she had, you know, and I think I did the like, sorry.
What was your excuse? I had too much whiskey.
I don't think I said anything.
Aww.
I think it was just like, you know, well,
I have this, sleepy dick.
This is, this is sleepy dick. And it's got his pajamas on and he just doesn't like taking them off. But it was so late that she just sighed and then just like rolled over. I was like, but I was so lonely at that point that it was still kind of a victory to have just had a nice night with somebody and then be in the bed with a girl, you know, that we woke up the next morning. Well, I woke up like 20 seconds before she did. And she looked very peaceful. So I was just kind of like looking at her. And then she woke up and saw me staring at her.
Saw that you were staring at her.
They're like, oh, I'm sorry. I literally just woke up a second ago. And just bad luck, you know. And then she's like, all right, well, I should leave. And my grandmother was downstairs making breakfast. Because it was like 6:30.
Jesus.
You know, we went to bed at 4. It was one of the, I think, she, you know, it was just one of those weird nights where.
Okay.
And so we woke up and yeah, she was in the kitchen making breakfast and she was like, oh, you want some? And she's like, no, I'm good. And then
she's like, well, I wanted sausage, but I didn't get any last night.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. and it was a little embarrassing, but also I was like, well, whatever, this is fine. And so she was like, all right, I'm going to go. And I was like, well, no, let me walk you to your car. And then she hesitated. And I was like, well, you know, I'm a classy guy. I was thinking maybe I can. We had a good time last night. Mm-hmm. Maybe we could do this again. Mm-hmm. And then the walk to her car felt like 5 years. Mm. And I understood why you just sort of, you know, after a one night stand, you just kind of, you don't follow them out the door. You know, there's a reason that it's just like, now we're sober. We know what happened.
This is understood.
Just, yeah. It's like, it's not about being a gentleman. The gentlemanly thing to do is just to let her go in peace and let her regret in her own way. But I walked with her and, you know, she was probably 100 yards. Oh, it was like 100 yard walk, but it might as well have been 20 minutes. And it was just, I was just like, so,
that's the worst,
you know, what's, I don't even know if I got a sentence out. It was just a start. Like I started 8 different just questions. Like,
so
what time's the, well, I don't know. And,
did you like my grandma?
Yeah. Yeah. She, how about her? You know, and then maybe a kiss on the cheek when we got to the car. And then I was walking back and then I just kind of laughed because I was like, well, this was the first person I'd been with since the heartbreak and everything else. I was like, well, at least somebody, it was a validation just to know that she would have gone, that she did come home with me.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, I'm not going to give up on this one. So we texted some and we had a mutual band that we both liked, the Avid Brothers, who are my favorite band. And we texted a little bit and then it kind of stopped. And I was like, all right, well, clearly it's done, but I'm not giving up. So I would just call her once every 2 weeks and leave a voicemail. And I always was aware, and maybe this is creepy. I'm going to have a really funny girl on tomorrow, on the show. Mm-hmm. So I'll ask her the same thing. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's creepy. I thought perhaps it's endearing that I'm calling with a sense of humor. I even called and said, listen, the other time, I'm sure I just sound like a complete idiot. That's not what normally happens. Let me tell you, usually it's a good time for all. And she never called me back.
So you never heard back from Kelly?
No, I never heard back from Kelly. Aww. And she was sweet. It was a good time until it wasn't. So,
yeah, it's just... You know. Yeah, there's the consolation that at least she would have come back with you, but it's like you've just had your heart broken. This is your one chance to smash.
Yeah.
And then it just... Sleepy Dick, man.
Yep. Sleepy Dick got me.
Sleepy Dick is a real thing.
It is. Yeah, it's just too late.
Dating, man, we have all of these horror stories. The really interesting one, sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
The really interesting one was with this girl that I was seeing for about, I want to say 2 or 3 months. Mm. And this was in May. It started in like the end of the summer of 2016, like maybe August into like the fall of 2016.
Okay.
Started seeing this girl, beautiful girl, bikini model.
Oh.
I landed a bikini model somehow.
Well done.
Thank you. Ended up being a disaster.
Sure.
So the long and the short of it is that we weren't boyfriend and girlfriend, but for a good 2 months, like for a good like 8 weeks, 6 to 8 weeks, we were dating.
Yeah.
We were definitely seeing each other. We had started sleeping together. I was crazy about her. Like I was super invested and I thought that this girl was going to be my next girlfriend and all this stuff. One night I'm at her apartment in Brentwood and it's like 11 PM and she gets a knock on the door. Like someone rings the doorbell and her cats start going crazy.
Yeah.
And she opens, and I open the door cause she's on the couch and I get up and I open the door and I see this big fat slob with a beard and like horrific hair and, you know, a beer belly out to here.
Yeah.
Like just a horrendous looking guy. He looks like he hasn't showered in 3 days.
Okay.
And I'm like, who is this fucking rando showing up to this girl's apartment at 11 PM?
Yeah.
I think he's there to like deliver Thai food or something.
Right. Yeah.
And I'm thinking like, babe, did you order Postmates or something?
Yeah.
And the guy walks in and he introduces himself to me. He says, hi, I'm blank. And I say, hi, I'm Kevin. And then he goes up to the girl and right in front of my face, he kisses her on the lips.
What? Who's this fucking retired Santa Claus?
Yeah.
What did she do?
Kissed him.
What the fuck?
Right in front of me. And I was really into this girl. Yeah. So in that moment, my heart broke. I didn't know what was happening.
Yeah.
But I was just so shocked that I grabbed my keys and I grabbed my phone and I was so hurt and angry. And I had no explanation. I was about to say to this girl, like, what is going on here? Right. But for some reason, like, my fight or flight response just kicked in and I just bounced. Yeah. I just got my stuff and I walked right out of the apartment.
Yes.
And she comes down the apartment of the hallway. And I remember this as vividly as you're sitting in front of me right now.
Yeah.
And she says, wait, Kevin, just hold on a minute. And I turn around and I say to her, look, I don't know what's going on in there, but I don't want to have any part of it.
Yeah.
And she says, just wait a minute. My boyfriend wants to talk to you.
What?
So I'm like, what? A, you have a boyfriend.
Yes.
That I haven't known about that for the last 2 months that you've been cheating on with me. And B, he wants to talk to me. What does he want to say to me? Like, he wants me to come in there so he can stab me with a butter knife?
Or is he proposing a threesome?
Yeah,
of some
exactly.
Kind? You know, either way, exactly. I think you made the right call.
And I just, I had no idea what to do. So sure. I told her, I was like, what the fuck? What do you mean you have a boyfriend? Like,
yeah.
what has all this been? And I'm super like emotional. I'm right. like about to cry because I'm really hurt by all of this. And man, telling this story now, there's a reason this is called Bad Times, Good Stories
yes.
because it's fucking hilarious now. But at the time I was a wreck.
Oh, I'm sure. It's brutal.
And so I basically tell her to like fucking leave me alone. She's blowing up my phone for the next 2 or 3 days. And then she asks if we can meet up for coffee and talk about it. And for some reason, my dumbass, probably because I was needy at the time, okay. like decided to go meet up with her. So I go and meet up with her and I talk to her.
What are your expectations when you go to show up? Like,
well, I don't know.
Okay.
Maybe for her to be like, I'm not seeing that guy anymore. Will you take me back? And if I do, then I'm the ultimate loser.
But, you know, all right. So you know? What happened at coffee?
Or maybe I'm thinking we'll go and have sex in the bathroom because
yeah.
I did that at a Pete's Coffee one
sure.
time.
Yeah, you specified, let's meet at Pete's.
At Pete's. Yeah. It's got to be Pete's.
Yeah, it's got to be Pete's.
maybe I won't get caught by the security guard this time.
Yeah, I learned my lesson last time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I could have sworn I locked that door to that Pete's Coffee bathroom. Who doesn't
you didn't
have...
even lock the door?
No, I did. But somehow he opened it.
Maybe he had a key.
Maybe.
I would imagine.
Anyway. So... I meet up with her, I talk to her, and she's like, you know, my relationship with this guy has just been so awful. I've just been really confused, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, whoa, back up. If you cheat on your boyfriend, you have a one-night stand. Like, okay, you're, you know, shouldn't do that. That's awful and unethical. But if you're cheating on your boyfriend for like 2 months and he has no idea and the other guy has no idea, and then he comes into your apartment and starts making out with you in front of the guy that you've been dating, then you're just a piece of shit.
Yeah.
You're just a fucking nutcase.
Yes.
So now every once in a while, that girl hits me up. Hey, how are you? Like, I don't know why she thinks that like we're still friends or whatever.
Yeah. Unless, even if you got a text, I'm no longer dating Santa Claus.
Exactly. Retired Santa Claus.
Yeah. Retired
Thai
Santa
food
Claus.
Delivery man.
Thai food delivery man.
I'm no longer dating Arvin from Postmates. Yeah.
Wow.
And
dude, that sounds so brutal.
She has this boyfriend who's super dedicated to her. At least it seems because I see their stuff on Instagram all the time.
Ah, yes.
And they live together and you know, whatever. And I'm just wondering, man, like, you know this. You know the saying that if she was or if he or she was cheating with you, then they're gonna cheat on you.
Yeah,
you know that whole
mm-hmm.
thing.
Yeah,
I just feel bad for that boyfriend for the new boyfriend.
Yeah, wow.
So I have a lot of horror stories like that, man.
Okay, and to wrap up, despite all of that, how do you jazz yourself up to continue the pursuit?
Because I want to find my partner, and because I believe that, you know, just because you have 1, 2, 5, or 25 terrible dating stories, that it's kind of par for the course,
right?
You know, especially online dating.
Yeah.
This is why I tell people, like, look, if online dating quote unquote works for you, then good, far be it for me to judge. But I don't know how it really works for anyone because it's just so nebulous and bizarre and there are so many variables.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, not everyone out there is crazy and I do have to put my best foot forward if I'm trying to like find my partner. But I also as you say, continue the pursuit, because I know myself a lot better now and I know a lot more of what I'm looking for now.
Right.
You know, so I continue dating and I continue trying because I'm looking for different things than I was looking for before.
Sure.
And I conduct myself differently than I was than I did before. I'm a lot less needy than I used to be. I'm a lot less clingy than I used to be. I'm a lot busier than I used to be. So I just have less room in my life for bullshit.
Right.
You know, so yeah, but it only takes one. Like, you right. know, you had a million fucking horror stories.
Yes.
and you found a way to make yeah. it work. So,
oh yeah, exactly.
You and never know when it's going to happen.
No, you don't. And I think that, you know, I think that's, I finally learned, and it seems like you did too. I always struggled with like when guys who did have success would be like, you just got to like not give a shit. Cause that always just felt like dude, fake to
that.
Me.
Yeah.
And I understood, at least my interpretation of that I found that made sense to me was kind of be comfortable in yourself enough that you're not constantly, you're not giving them more importance than they deserve. You know, you're not putting them up on a pedestal and all that stuff. And you're just going to go about your life and read the signs as they appear. So it's right. like, no, I'm not going to, you know,
attribute meaning where there is none.
Right.
Yeah,
exactly. You know?
Yeah.
So I think that is the,
well, you know, guys have this, you know, we have this kind of trope in society, which is that women love assholes and women love the chase and they love to win men over and like turn them into good boys and stuff like that. I don't know if that's true. I've seen examples of it being true. I've seen examples of it being not true. But when a guy is saying you just got to be an asshole or you just got to not give a shit or you got to just got to blow her off or you got to seem like you're, you know, too busy or too good for her, whatever. If you're saying that to someone who's sensitive and like really cares and has had a hard time in his dating life, that is like asking a person with one foot to run a marathon.
Exactly.
You know,
yeah. I never got it. I was like, well, what does that mean? You know, I never figured it out until it was just, yeah. And it was really that massive heartbreak that I went through that led to me going all over the country. I was just like, you know, and a lot of it wasn't even on her. She kept telling me, I don't really see this going anywhere. And I was like, you will, you know, I'll keep, you know, and I was just putting too much importance on, you know, if she was like, you know, maybe we can hang out Tuesday, then I would just clear my schedule on Tuesday.
Of course.
And then just be pacing back and forth. Like, so are we going to do it? Are we going to do, you know, what are we doing? And it's just about not doing that. You know, it's just about, you know, not falsely filling your schedule, but just creating a life for yourself where you're not dependent on somebody else.
Yeah.
And in an early way like that, you know what I mean?
Yeah. In the Bhagavad Gita,
those are words that meant what?
Okay, I was going to explain. So there is an ancient document, like a meditative religious document from the Eastern world, called the Bhagavad Gita. It's kind of like, you know, the Indian equivalent of like the Torah.
Okay.
You know, but it's incorporated a lot of like Buddhist thought and stuff like that. And there's a passage in it that talks about detachment. And what it says is that detachment doesn't mean that you own nothing. It means that nothing owns you. So when we think about being detached, we think of like monks meditating in caves who like have no belongings and have completely denounced their lives and, you know, stuff like that.
Yeah.
And that's not what it is at all.
Right.
You don't have to go to that extreme. It just means that other people and other situations don't have ownership and don't dictate the way that you live your life and the decisions that you make. So to use your example, if on Tuesday night you have nothing to do and you would have had nothing to do anyway, then you just do, like, you don't have to wait for that girl to text you and rest your identity and your sense of self in whether or not she texts you.
Exactly.
You'll just be working on whatever you'd be working on a Tuesday night,
exactly.
You know? And if an opportunity comes up for you to do something for yourself on that Tuesday night before she happens to get back to you, then you take it because that's what you would do, you know, either way. Or you reach out to her and you say, hey, I would love to see you, but this just came up. Are we, you know, can I confirm with you?
Yeah.
But I think that people get a sick sense of pleasure in stringing other people along.
Yeah.
And the fact that in dating, we talk about the game, we talk about playing the game mm-hmm. and how people like the chase, to me, that's like sociopathic.
Yeah.
I have never understood how anyone could take pleasure in stringing someone else along and making them question whether or not you like them and making them sit there and wonder, based on the very cryptic small amounts of information that you're giving them, whether or not, you know, they're going to reach out to you or they should pursue you or whatever. I fucking hate that game.
Yeah.
And part of the reason that I've had some trouble in my dating life is that I'm so straightforward.
Yeah.
Like, I cut all the shit right from the beginning that people are kind of intimidated by that. You know, but that's how I am. I can't do it any other way because I've tried to do it the other way. I've tried to play the game. I've tried to be douchey. You know, I've tried to seem like I don't care. I've tried to seem like an asshole. And as I said at the beginning of this episode, people smell that bullshit from a mile away.
Exactly.
You know?
Well, I wish you nothing but the best in your continued
thank you, Joe.
Pursuit of love. Real quick, we do a show together. Your YouTube channel. Do you want to just talk about that a little bit?
Yes, of course.
Where the idea spawned from and what it's all about?
Yes. Thank you for giving me the chance to do my shameless plug.
Sure.
So my YouTube channel is called The Other Side. My Instagram is just my name, Kevin Nahai, but on my Instagram, there's the link to my YouTube channel. And the crux of the channel is basically two things. One is I think of the channel as sort of a real life university where I talk about all of the things that I think millennials especially, but all people, experience and confront on a daily basis that we are never taught how to navigate in schools. So when we're growing up in school or at home or in college or whatever, we never talk about the quarter life crisis. We never talk about the internal dialogue and the voices in our own head. We never talk about financial literacy. We never talk about stress and anxiety. We never talk about relationships, dating. You know, these are all lessons that we have to learn the hard way because we never have mentors and teachers giving us real life lessons.
Right.
Right. And unfortunately, at a young age, I've had to go through a lot of these real life lessons and learn shit the hard way just because my own path in life, which brings me to the other crux of the channel, which is that I try to make myself completely publicly vulnerable on this channel and open myself up, tear my heart out of my chest and just put it right there for my viewers. Mm-hmm. And I tell some very, very personal stories about me because I know that a lot of people are dealing with similar things and that we're not talking about it.
Right.
So I think of my channel as kind of a community of conscious counseling, you know, not that I'm the counselor or the guru or that I even really know anything, but just that I'm willing to use myself as an example to put myself out there, talk about the lessons that I've learned and hopefully share all of the resources and tools that I've used to get to the other side.
Right.
You know, a place of being happier and stronger and more fulfilled and wiser. And that's my intention. You are my producer and I could not do any of it without you. And yeah, like I said, it's on YouTube and Instagram.
Yeah, most definitely. I think it's a great series and it was something I was excited to get to work with you on and continue to work with you on. Very vulnerable. And, I think there's a lot of good lessons in there for everybody. So
thanks, man.
Well, thanks for coming on and, everybody be sure to check out The Other Side on YouTube.
Thank you so much, man. Thanks for having me on.
That was the episode. I hope you enjoyed it. Thanks again to Kevin for coming over and, talking about the struggle that is dating and relationships. And I hope he finds his person soon. Again, you can check out The Other Side on YouTube. Every week he posts at least one video about one of the struggles that he has overcome. And I am proud to produce a series with him. It's important stuff. So, if you enjoyed the episode, give us that 5 stars. If you didn't, then, you know, do it anyway. And email me at badtimesgoodstoriespodcast@gmail.com. Check out past episodes, the merch, and Patreon at badtimesgoodstoriespod.com. That's it for me. So until next Wednesday, keep laughing.